Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, women's voices on culture, style, society and well-being. Radio Gorgeous, where women do the talking.
I'm here at the Soho Theatre with Amy and Rosanna Cade. The fantastic show which I've just seen, Sister. Amy, what's the show?
I suppose the show is essentially about our lives, mine and Rosanna's lives, and about how we both see ourselves identifying as women, and how it's about sexuality, about what it means to be defined as a woman. But we tell those, we investigate those subjects through our own personal stories, which are quite different.
As well as our relationship to each other, yeah. As we are real life sisters.
Yes, mm-hmm. Actual sisters and actual sisters. Life.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Which actually some people do question us on in the question. Yeah. Yeah. They say, "Are you actually sisters?" Which is quite interesting.
Yeah, because it's a show where you expose a lot of your relationship. Mm-hmm. You expose a lot of yourselves. Mm-hmm. You're also naked, so there's you know, a lot of physical exposure, mm-hmm. as well as emotional exposure, mm-hmm. and information disclosure. Mm-hmm. And I just think about my relationship with my sister. I was adopted, and my sister and I have a complex relationship. And I don't know that my sister and I could... I think we could have some of the discussions that you have. I don't know that my sister and I could perform those discussions, mm-hmm. for other people. So what was the decision-making process? Rosanna, I think you're a performer. Amy, you've been a performer. What was that...
Yeah, well, it's something we've been thinking about for a long time. Quite a few years ago, I think it was in 2009, we performed together in another amazing feminist performance called Trilogy, where they had a group of women dancing together naked, just as part of it, as a kind of celebration of diversity in women, really. And we took part in that performance together in Edinburgh, and also that summer... We were spending time together looking after our grandma who was dying. We were looking after her with our mum. So at that time, we spent the most time together that we had as adults, really. And because we were taking part in this other performance about feminism and also spending time with the women in our family, it got us talking about our relationship to feminism and to being a woman. And I suppose the kind of different paths that our lives had taken since we had been living together. So Amy left home when she was 18 and then me a couple of years later. So at that time we thought, oh, maybe there's an interesting conversation to be had here and perhaps we could make a show and I wonder what that would be like. But then obviously it took us a bit longer. We were both still studying at the time and it's kind of since graduating it's been something we've spoken about and then it just, yeah, was waiting for the right time for it to happen because mm-hmm. Amy was living in Berlin and finding about how we could get the opportunity to actually work together. But I feel like it also came at the right time because we were still continuing our journeys, you know, and I feel like perhaps making this performance has somehow... it's been a time of transformation for both of us. It's almost like we've explored these things together and perhaps...
The show has helped us to understand... the reasons for the decisions that we kind of made or like understanding the process that we've been on through the process of making the show, I think. Like, I think that that's something which definitely has happened. And it's been a long process. I mean, when did we start making it? Over 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
So it's been for a number of different versions. I think at first it was like, quick, let's just tell everyone everything, you know, let's get it all out. And then it's become more refined and we've kind of tried to really... pinpoint what it is that we want to share. You know, I think for me at the beginning it was like, I want to make a show about what I think about sex work or something, you know, because it was so present for me and wanting to represent a voice that I didn't think was heard enough, which I think there is still that in the show. But then we realized that actually it's about me and Rosanna. It's about us saying, you know, we are these two sisters, we were born 22 months apart. On the one hand, we're really bloody different, you know, and our sexual lives, but actually we love each other, and actually our ethos, our manifestos really are very much in line, you know, because we both believe that we should, it's a celebration, you know, we should celebrate women that are like Rosanna and men that are like Rosanna, anyone that is an individual should be celebrated, anyone that's happy as who they are should be celebrated, and that's what it's about, I think, at a base level.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah.
Okay, so a couple of things come up, because one, you know, sort of the easy tagline of the show is that, you know, Amy's a sex worker, mm-hmm. you know, Rosanna's a lesbian, as if those were like, you know, like tick boxes of equal and opposite things, which they're not. Mm-hmm. But that to me sets the scene of the show, because the show does start with the anonymous and, I don't know, very, very samey. Mm. You almost look like sex twins.
Yeah.
You know, like our version of what's sexy, long red hair, leather, you know, leather top pants, the pole is there, looking the same. And then, of course, you are revealed as your individual selves. The show starts, which I thought was a fun way to start the show, with two chairs and two people from the audience who come up and basically receive a lap dance. Not basically, they actually do.
Yeah, they do.
They very much do.
Yeah.
And of course, what's familiar and yet uncomfortable for the audience and for those participants is that, oh, you're nobody usually sees you watching porn, you know? Or, you know, and it says, and what are your responses to that? You end the show, it's sort of bracketed, again, with these chairs, but you put yourselves in those chairs. Mm-hmm. And you further expose yourself to questions from the audience. Mm-hmm. Okay, so to bring it up through that way, some of the things that come up in the show is that you, as a sex worker, you very much acknowledge that your path to sex work has not been everyone's path.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you are not trafficked, you are not... Okay, but as a consumer of porn, which I think in one way or another we all are, whether we acknowledge it or don't, or, you know, oh, I only did it once. Well, you still did it, you know? I mean, that's still there. But I was thinking, okay, well, there should be, how do we get like the fair trade, you know, label on porn? How do we get non-trafficked, you know, like how do we get voluntary porn?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there is online. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, the thing is now that, I mean, the professional porn industry is losing money. It's going, eventually it will, I think, as we know it, be obsolete because everyone puts their porn videos online.
Oh, right. People
are
doing it themselves.
Amateur stuff. And there's also, like, you know, porn for, say, like, sort of fucking for the trees and all sorts of there's all sorts of different things online now. Which,
fuck to reduce your carbon footprint.
It's like there's all sorts of stuff like that. And, like, but like, you know, sometimes even in the porn industry, they're like, right, you've got to make it look like it's amateur. And you're like, well, what's the point of this? And I just think nowadays, you know, it's just, we've seen it. We've seen so much of it. I think the only way... And, like, I couldn't be bothered to do anymore. I'm not interested in doing more unless it was subversive, unless it was all, it was creative, it was artistic, you know, unless it was pushing the boundaries in some way. Otherwise, I do think it'll just end up just running out of steam. I think...
But I think in terms of porn, there is feminist porn being made.
Yeah.
I think in terms of the sex industry and sex work, the way, like, this idea that it could happen in an ethical way is kind of quite radical, I think, and because it is all lumped together when we speak about the sex industry. And what I've really learned through listening to Amy and really believing what she's telling me and about her experiences is that perhaps there is a way this industry can work that is people, you know, getting paid to do something that they're really willing to do, which actually feels less exploitative than loads of industries out there in a way and
a lot less time. It's not 9 to 5.
And I think that, you know, for it to
make
have this,
a lot of people happy as well, you know,
for us to have a kind of fair trade sex industry, then we need to be talking about it, and we need to talk about the fact that that could be a possibility, which I suppose is, you know, one of the things that Amy's really trying to do.
Listen to us online, on your phone, download a podcast, or on your tablet. Radio Gorgeous, there for you.
Well, and I think you brought up that that's something that's important to you. Because I know in the something that comes up is that you have a particular fetish which you do not want to expose. However, what you did say about it is that if there's some place online for you to go, it keeps you safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if that's something that keeps you safe. Does it keep the other people who are doing it safe? Does it keep people safe from one? Those are all questions. And that does seem to serve a purpose then.
Yeah, I think the thing is when we're thinking about sexuality, people can't be called right or wrong for the sexual, for any thoughts that you have in your head. You can't necessarily control your thoughts. You can't control your feelings. And I think there is too much out there that kind of says, oh, if you find this sort of thing sexually attractive, then that's wrong, or then you're an immoral person. But I think the way that we act and the way our actions affect other people is what shows us whether, you know, perhaps we're acting morally or immorally. But those are all subjective things, aren't they? But yeah, we can't be judged for our feelings. So I think at the end of the day, like, sex for a lot of people, I think is something that we think about quite a lot and that we have lots of different fantasies about, and that it is good to have a place where we can explore what those things are safely. I mean, I'm not saying that if I was to explore my particular fetish in real life that it wouldn't be safe, but it's something that I don't feel comfortable doing, so I'm really happy that there's a place online for me to explore it. And I also, you know, wish it was something that I felt happy talking about, because I'm saying all these things like we shouldn't be judged for our feelings, and yet I still judge myself for this particular fetish, and I actually do find that problematic, but I still know that I carry too much shame to share it.
And you just said the buzzword of all buzzwords, especially when we're talking about sex, is shame. And shame came up when it was, you know, the terrible awful, when everybody found out, you know, what Amy was up to. And, you know, what were, did you have shame attached to how your family felt about you?
It was just so horrible to know that, like, something that you were doing that you believed in, and I accept that, you know, part of the reason for me doing it was to push the limits, was to put myself in a position that I wanted to see what it was like, and I knew that there was going to be potential repercussions from that, but you know, making people that you love that upset and having that feeling that your little brother is literally ashamed of you is gut-wrenching. It's horrible, and I think that, you know, almost like, you know, they're dealing with their feelings, and then they think that you don't, or that perhaps with thinking that you aren't even aware of that. But I've always been aware of that, but it's felt important for me to still do it and to try and make them understand, because I just don't think you can say, well, you know, well, it would be much easier if I hadn't done any of those things, of course, for my life. I mean, my God, you know. But it was important to me because I would over and over again think about things and evaluate things and think, why am I making my life so hard? Am I just being stupid? And I believe in this right, and I believe in the right that everyone has to live out their sexualities. And also, I didn't feel like the actual interactions that I was having, the actual actions that I were doing, felt to me positive and on the whole actually making people happy. But it's the idea and the stigma that's the problem, you know. It's like I've said before, you see a woman surrounded by a couple, you know, five men in a porn film, and, you know, if it's a professional porn, you think, oh, you know, that everyone would think, oh God, that poor woman, she's such a victim. And you're like, well, if it was a man, or if it was any man surrounded by men, or any of this, and you just think, well, it's so tied up with this idea with lack of female agency, you know. And it has really upset me, and even now it's still, you know, we had the thing out in the paper, and And there were still, you know, parts of my family were still affected by that. And it still upsets me now, you know, like that is something that I have to do, that is a part of it. But I'm also know that in comparison to other families and other friendship groups, that I am so lucky to have the support that I did. And they do try to understand. And that's why we were able to do it. So I've never exactly felt ashamed of myself, but I've felt really cut up and hurt of the shame that I was causing, or the feelings that other people had, shame for me, I think, yeah. You know, and that's really difficult to deal with. And you do quite, and I have questioned why am I doing this? But deep down, I know it's because I believe in it. I believe it being not necessarily right or wrong, but something that I had to do and something that I needed to then share and talk about.
Radio Gorgeous, the sexist station where you'll only hear the female voice.
And was that particularly hurtful when Rosanna had negative feelings about what you were doing?
Yeah, I mean, Rosanna, I think we've always been able to talk about things more openly. I mean, I think Rosanna, like, listened to me, you know, and once she listened to me, she could then, she began to understand me, whereas I feel like, and so she's been open to something, you know. I think other people, they can't quite break through the general stereotypical idea of, and also I think it's what they care, they're worrying about what other people think about.
Well,
it.
their own prudishness.
Yeah, their own, and also like
their own consumption and what that means about you.
Well, if my daughter's doing that or my big sister's doing that, then other people are laughing, or what are other people saying about it? And like, they don't want other people to think badly of me. You know, that's the thing.
So it's a protective.
Yeah, I think. Whereas actually saying, yeah, but that's their issue. You know, like I'm not affected by that. That's their problem. You know, and so, but I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's funny because Rosanna says, well, I mean, what I feel worse about is the fact that she looked up to me and thought that she had to do all these sexual things because she thought that I was. I didn't have a blooming clue that she was going on, because I knew she was gay before she did. I mean, I was like, yeah, Rosanna, I don't know why you're doing all this stuff with men. I mean, like, because I always knew she wasn't experiencing it like me. I never knew that she was idolising me. That, I feel, if anything, I've got more kind of guilt about that I didn't just say earlier, it's all right, Rosanna, you don't have to do that. Like,
enough with the blowjob.
Yeah, I remember seeing that time, going, oh, Rosanna, what is she doing?
Like, what's she on about?
Yeah, what's she getting? What's she doing?
Go find a nice girl, yeah. Settle down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But was it also weird? Okay, so the show does start with a moment where, you know, my older sister Amy, when she was a stripper, once used my name.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, not by your name. I added an N.
Yeah, in our accent, there's a distinction between Rosanna and Rosanna. One N or two Ns, and she...
But it wasn't my first choice. I wanted to call Fleur, then I wanted to call Roxy. They were both taken, and I was like, Rosanna.
It's an obvious third
option. I thought it was quite funny. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I thought it was funny.
I had a wig and called the wig Rosanna, and I put Rosanna on, and...
Donning the persona of Rosanna.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think if anything I found it funny. Mm.
Well, that's what inspired you in a way to do My Big Sister Taught Me This lap dance in a way. Well, yeah. Not that, but this idea that, like,
I had a performance I made before making this called My Big Sister Taught Me This Lap Dance. which is it's for one audience member at a time. And it's kind of similar to how our performance starts, where I do the lap dance and I talk about how Amy used to call herself Rosanna and she was my idol and so it made for a good show.
There you go. Well, and this made for a good show, and I also have to compliment you on one of the things that you pull in a lot of different elements in the show, and one of the elements is both your voices. I mean, I think a lot of people think, oh, your bodies and your sisterhood or whatever, but your voices in unison that are similar and yet so distinct really create a wonderful atmosphere.
Oh, that's nice.
It's
good.
Nice to hear.
Yeah. I think we've sometimes. I think actually both of us said afterwards that we were really listening to each other in this performance, because I know we're at the fringe when we did about 20 times, we probably just got fed up with each other.
Yeah.
Just like, oh God, not this story again.
Yeah.
Heard this before, you know. But actually, when we haven't done it for a while and we listen, and we both said when we came out, we're like, yeah, we felt it's really, yeah,
felt connected to it
and each other. So thank you. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah,
nice to hear.
Thank you both, Amy and Rosanna.
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com. Get in contact with us. Contact us on info@RadioGorgeous.com. And to sign up for our shows to come once a week into your inbox. Who can think of anything better, darling?
Has been a Radio Gorgeous production, produced and presented by Donna Freed, edited by Bree Forer.